We want to look at a couple of things that have to do with the Word of God. First of all, the Bible, this book, is the Word of God. This is God's Word to us. How do we know that? How do we know that this book is different than any other book that was ever written? And there are a lot of books that have been written that are good books, exciting books, and adventurous books, but there is no book that has ever been written that claims to be or that proves to be God's Word. This is God's Word to you and to me, to man. People that wrote it would quote verses from other places in the Bible, and they would always call it Scripture, which is another word for the Word of God. And so other writers of the Bible would talk about passages in the Bible that were written, and they referred to it as the Word of God, because that's in fact what this is. When the Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth, many, many, many times he talked about this being the Word of God. And he would quote the Word of God. And he claimed that he fulfilled different prophecies that were written about him. A prophecy is something that is said by God about the future. Now, who knows the future? Well, people don't know the future. People can guess at the future. Some people guess that the Cubs would win, and they guessed for many, many years, and they were wrong. There was one student, high school student, that wrote in his yearbook that in 2016, the Cubs were going to win the World Series. He was right, but he wasn't a prophet. He just guessed at it. He hoped for it, but he couldn't say for sure. But prophecy, fulfilled prophecy, is another great evidence that this is the Word of God. So God told us hundreds of years before something would happen, in great detail, he would tell us what would happen, and it happened exactly that way, exactly that way. The Bible speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ was going to come and what he was going to do thousands of years before. In fact, right from the beginning of time, the Bible speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ coming thousands of years before. And the Bible told us what would happen when he went to the cross, that he would ask for drink, and they gave him vinegar to drink, and that they were going to beat him up and scourge him or beat him and crucify him. The prophets told about that in a lot of detail, and it all came true. And that is another proof that this is the Word of God. There's no other book that you can find that can tell you the future. There are a lot of books, history books, that can tell you about what happened in the past. But no books can tell you what's going to happen in the future, knowing 100% totally true that what's going to happen is in fact going to happen because God said it. This is the Word of God. This book is so powerful that it can change people's lives completely. And by believing it, by believing the message of the Bible, by believing that what Jesus Christ came to do, he came to do for you, and by believing that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins, and that by believing that he's the only way to heaven, by believing that, you can go to heaven. You can have your sins forgiven. God is the only one that can do that. You cannot do that for yourself. No one has ever been able to wash away their sins. They can try. They can do a lot of religious things to do that, but they can't do it. Only God can. And so as the Bible, as this being the Word of God, it is the most important book that you are ever going to read. You may enjoy reading other books more, but this is the most important book you'll ever read. You may think that other books are more exciting. This is the most exciting book that was ever written, because it tells about God and what He has done and what He will do. Now, there's only one way that you can properly understand the Word of God, and God tells us how we can understand this book. I'm going to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, where the Apostle Paul is speaking to a pastor, to a young man who is a pastor of a church. He says something to him that's very important. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, he says to him this. He says, I want you to study the Bible to show yourself approved unto God. Studying the Bible, God is happy when you do that. God is pleased when you do that. But there's a certain way that you need to study it, it says here. You need to show yourself approved unto God. That means that God is pleased with you. A workman is somebody that works hard at something. And he's talking about studying as a work. Studying the Bible as a work. A workman that needs not be ashamed. And then he says, rightly dividing the word of truth. What that means is that you need to know what the Bible says and who it's saying it to. Because there are things that are written in the Bible that are not said to you and to me. There are things that are said in the Bible that are written to the nation of Israel, to the Jewish people in the past. And they needed to obey that. But there are certain things that are written to us, and God in His Word tells us how to rightly divide. To rightly divide means that you divide the Bible the way it needs to be divided, because it's the way God intended for us to understand it and to study it. Then if you go one chapter over to chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says something very important about the Bible. All scripture is another word for God's word, the Bible. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means that everything that's written in this book, it's given to us by God. Even though men and some women wrote it, it's God who showed people what to write. And so all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. That means that it is good. It benefits you. It helps you. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. And the only way that you can get the true profit, the true benefit from the Word of God is to go back to chapter 2 and verse 15, that says that we need to rightly divide the word of truth. So we need to find out as we study the Bible, how does God divide the Bible into messages and sections that are for certain people? We need to go for that to Ephesians chapter 2. The book of Ephesians, another letter that Paul wrote, where he tells us about certain divisions in the Bible that you need to know and that will help us get the profit, the benefit from the Word of God. So I've got what we commonly know as a timeline, and I'm going to show you how in these verses the Bible talks about time past. That's what happened in the past and what God says to people in the past. And then we've got another one that says
that he's going to tell us about ages to come, that's what's going to happen in the future.
So we need to study this. We need to know it because we benefit from that. It's good for us to know. But then there's another section that Paul refers to as, but now. So there are certain things that we need to learn and study and apply to what God says is now, what God wants us to learn now. So look at this, verse 11 of chapter 2. I'm going to read it. Therefore, remember, and Paul is writing to Gentiles. Gentiles are people that were not Jewish people. God's chosen people were the Jews. And the only way that people could be right with God was by coming to the God of the Jews. And the Gentiles, what does Paul say here about the Gentiles? He says that you in time past, see, he's talking about what was true of Gentiles in time past. What was true of Gentiles in time past? He says, verse 12, at that time you were without Christ. You didn't have Christ. Christ was not promised to you specifically. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You were not part of the Jewish people. You were strangers from the covenants of promise. God made promises and made contracts with the children of Israel. The Gentiles were not included. And so these were things that were true in the past. Gentiles were not included. Having no hope. The only hope was found in the Jewish people because they knew and they had Jehovah God as their God, and he gave them hope. Gentiles had no hope apart from the God of Israel. And you were without God in the world. So there are certain things that God says there about the Gentiles that was true in time past. Was that true now? Is that true now? Well, let's find out. He also speaks about, in verse 13, he says, but now, here we have now, he's just told us what was true in the past. Now he's going to tell us what's true now about Gentiles. But now, let's see what he says. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were at one time, in time past, far away from God, far away from the promises of God, far away from the covenants, the contracts that God made with Israel, at that time, this was true of you. But now, watch this, but now in Christ Jesus, you who at one time were far away, you have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Christ died on the cross. Over here, he died on the cross, and now because of what he did on the cross, Gentiles in this time frame can now come directly to God. He says, you have been brought near by the blood of Christ. All right? And then in chapter 2 and verse 7, chapter 2, verse 7, he has just spoken about what God has done when Christ died on the cross and when God raised him from the dead. See verse 6, he's raised him up together. Verse 7, that in the ages to come, that's over here, that in the ages to come, God is going to do something in the future. This is where we're living now, right here. In the future, he's going to do something. He says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. He's going to show in the future, in the ages to come, what his love and grace did over here. And that's what God is going to show in the ages to come, how wonderful God's grace is. God's grace Grace is God giving you something you don't deserve. If I come and I give you $1 million, you don't deserve that. But I can give it to you as a gift. All right? And God gives us far more than money. He gives us eternal life. He gives us forgiveness of sins. He gives us all these riches because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross. Now, let me try to make it as simple as I can for you. So God has written certain things in the Bible that apply to people that lived here. And then he's written some things in the Bible that apply to people that are going to live here. And then he's written certain things in the Bible that apply to us today. And if you take something that was written here, you can learn a lot about God and a lot about how God deals with people and a lot about the past. But if you bring that over here and try to apply it here, you're going to run into trouble. Or if you read something about what God is going to do in the future and try to bring it here, you're going to run into trouble. Now, I read to you a verse in the Bible that says all Scripture, the whole Bible, is given by God and is profitable. It's good for us to learn what God did here. It's good for us to learn what God is going to do here. It's most important for us to learn what God is doing today. Let's put it this way. If you, by accident, get your next-door neighbor's mail delivered to you, so you go in your mailbox and you see that this letter was written from your neighbor whose dad is in the military, and he's far away, and you decide, let's see, should I just go over there and give those people the letter that dad sent? Oh, I think I'll open it. And you open the letter, and you start reading the letter, and you find out that that dad is just loves your neighbor's kids so much. That's dad is sending a love letter to his kids and to the mom of your friend's kids. And you read and you learn how much he loves them and how much he misses them and how he's looking forward to seeing them again and to show them his love. And then he says, when I get back, we are going to take a trip. We're going to go on a big vacation. I'm going to take you on vacation. And we're all going to go as a family. We're going to go away by the beach, and we're going to see all these beautiful things. And you just read about your next-door neighbor's dad and how much he loves them and what he's going to do for them. But that letter was not for you. You don't start thinking, oh, good, I'm going to go on a trip. No, that letter wasn't written to you. The dad next door is going to take your friends, your neighbors, on a trip. You're not going because you're not one of the kids, and that's not your dad. So that's like when you read over here, it was great reading about the love that the dad has and the exciting things they're going to do together, and you can learn a lot about the dad. But you know what? You can't say, well, that's for me. I'm going to go on a trip because it wasn't written to you. The same is true when you read in the Old Testament and when you read in the future, in the letters that apply to the future, you learn some wonderful things about God and God's, how good God is, how kind God is, and how righteous and just God is. God doesn't like sin and he deals with sin. We learn all of that. But you have to wait till you get a letter from your dad. Because that applies to you. And if your dad is on a trip and he writes to you and he tells you how much he loves you and he tells you, now I want you to do this before I get home and I want you to get this done, that's written to you. When you read your neighbor's letter, It's not written to you. And so we need to be careful about when we read what God said to the Jewish people, to the nation of Israel, we need to know who's writing it. God is writing it to whom? To the Jewish people. When? For time past. And he's also writing things that are for the ages to come. We need to find out what God has written to us, because that's what we need to learn and study and apply to our lives. Let me try and illustrate it a different way. When you're playing a sport, let's say that you play football, but you also play baseball. You can't mix those two. There are certain rules that you have to play by when you play football, and there are certain rules you have to play by when you play baseball. There are terms. There's a language that you use. You don't go to a baseball game and say, oh, good, he got a touchdown. You don't get touchdowns in baseball. Or if you're playing football, you don't say, oh, good, he got to third base. That's a totally different game. And so there are certain things that God is writing for people that live here. And now we're in a different game. Something else is happening. Something else is going on. And that's what we need to learn. What is God saying to us? And how does he want us to live? All right. The other thing is that when you play a sport, usually when you're on a team, who's the top guy? What is he called? Called a coach, right? The head coach, right? So the head coach will teach you how to play football, and the head coach for your baseball team will show you how to play baseball. But he uses that language, those terms, and they don't mix up. So when the nation of Israel was here, they had a head coach who told them what to do. He told them what the rules were. And his name was Moses. And Moses gave to the children of Israel what the Bible refers to as the law. He said, this is what you need to do. This is what you should not do. And Moses told them how to, it's not a game, but how to play the game of life. How to relate to God. But Moses is not my coach. He was the coach of the children of Israel. You know who our coach is? Our coach is the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul has written letters to the body of Christ, which is who we are, and he writes about. He writes to us, and he writes about us, and this is the coach I need to listen to know what to do, what to believe, how to live. That's why it's important for us to know what Moses said to the children of Israel and what God says to people that are going to live in the future. It's very important to know what does our coach, what does Paul say to us? And what does he say about us? Because that will help us know and learn how to live the Christian life the way we should. So over here, there's some real differences between how people live here, how we live today, and how they lived then. If you obey God, if you obey what he tells you to do, God is going to give you what he calls blessings. Good things are going to happen to you that God is going to do for you. And then he says, God says, but if you don't do these things, then there's going to come what the Bible calls curses. Bad things are going to happen to you. You obey, and good things are going to happen to you. You disobey, bad things are going to happen to you. And so people would obey. Because why? Because they wanted good things to happen from God, and they didn't want the bad things to happen, and people that disobeyed Moses, bad things would happen to them. And the Bible is filled with bad things that happened to people. There were things that they did over here. They had a lot of what they called holidays, holy days. They celebrated a lot of Jewish feasts, a lot of celebrations. They had to keep those holy days. In fact, the seventh day of the week, which is Saturday, the Sabbath, in the Bible, the first day of the week is Sunday. The seventh day of the week is Saturday, the Sabbath. And God said, I want you over here to keep the Sabbath holy. It's a special day where you spend your time praying to me and worshiping me and getting together and celebrating who I am. And God said, once we're over here, no more holy days, no more Jewish celebrations and Jewish feasts. That's part of what they did over here. We don't do that over here. In fact, God tells people that are living over here in the book of Colossians, he says, why are you still doing these things? Why do you still celebrate holy days? There were certain foods that they couldn't eat. The Jewish people couldn't eat certain food. They couldn't eat ham. They couldn't eat pig meat because that was not what they call kosher. And God said, don't eat that. Today, God says, you can eat it. You can eat that. And you don't have to keep the seventh day holy. In fact, every day is holy. Every day is special. Because when you're a Christian, God comes to live inside of you. God the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And every single day is a special holy day. And so there's certain things that they did here. Now, is it important for us to obey over here? Is it important for us to obey the Word of God? Absolutely. Absolutely. But we don't obey. This is what one of the things that has changed. We don't obey in order to get blessings. We obey for a whole different reason. And that's what over here, Moses teaches them the law. Over here, God teaches us what grace is about. Remember grace? It's God giving us something we don't deserve. And here, they obeyed in order to get blessings and not get curses. Here, we obey. Why? We obey because of all that God has done for you and all that God has done for me. It's like this. It's like when you're a kid, your parents teach you to obey. What happens if you obey? Your parents are happy. They reward you. They give you things. Oh, but what happens when you disobey? What happens when you disobey? Yes. Oh, you get a punishment. That's right. You better believe it. And the punishment comes in all different ways. Time out. When I was growing up and when my kids were growing up, the punishment came more over here than on the corner of the room. Well, so I obeyed for one of two reasons. I obeyed because I don't want to get punished. And I obeyed because I wanted my parents to be happy with me. And I wanted to get what they wanted to give me. But today, that's what happens when you're a kid. When you grow up, it's different. And that's what we need to get our kids. That's what we need to get you as kids to learn, is that you don't obey because you're afraid of punishment or because what you're going to get from your parents. Here's the difference. You need to learn to obey because of how good and wonderful your parents are. Grateful for what they've done for you. because you love them. And that's the difference between the two. Well, let me give you an example of where the Bible shows that difference. In the book of Matthew, and the book of Matthew, we're still over here, where you get blessings and where you have to do certain things in order to get something from God. And so in Matthew chapter 6, here's what a lot of people call the Lord's Prayer. This was taught to the children of Israel to pray. And one of the things that they prayed in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12, listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ teaches them to pray. Forgive us our debts or our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, our debtors. So you need to forgive. God is going to forgive you, the Bible says. Forgive us just like we forgive others. Well, if you don't forgive others, then God is not going to forgive you. In fact, he says that. Verse 15, he says, but if you do not forgive other people their sins against you, neither will your Father forgive you. If you don't forgive them, God's not going to forgive you. So, it's depending upon you obeying. You get forgiveness over here only if you forgive others. But when Paul writes to us and about us, God doesn't forgive us because we forgive others. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, there's a complete change, a complete difference. We are told, listen, we are told to be kind. In verse 32 of Ephesians 4, we are told to be kind to others and to have a tender heart, a kind heart toward others. And then listen to what it says. Forgive one another. Forgive others. Why? So that you get forgiven? No, that's not what it says here. It says forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has already forgiven you. So here we are, by the grace of God, we are forgiven of our sins. And because we're forgiven, because we're so happy, so thankful that we've been forgiven, then the result of that is we forgive what others do against us. You forgive other people, not in order to be forgiven, but because you've already been forgiven. You see, there's a big difference between what Coach Moses tells his people and what our coach Paul tells us. How we ought to play this game, how we ought to live. It's totally different. We are now called grown up, adults. Here, they were children. And so as children, they needed to be punished. They needed to experience God's displeasure, God's unhappiness with their behavior, and God punished them. Just like your parents punish you. And they would obey because of the good things that God would do for them. Over here, adults don't live like that anymore. So my kids, you know, are adults. I don't put them in the corner. I don't take away their iPads. I don't spank them. Right? What do? When I want to help them, and I talk to them like adults. I give them my advice, and I encourage them to do right. And that's the difference. Over here, the children of Israel were always children. The Bible says that God now treats us like adults. And one of the verses that we read is, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It benefits us. And it's the Word of God that helps you live the Christian life the way you ought to live. And that's what God does. Now he's talking to us through his Word. before he talked to the children of Israel through his word, but they better obey. Now, we need to obey here, but the reason we obey in this time frame is because of all the things that God has already done for us. So I forgive people that hurt me, or that insult me, or that say bad things against me. I forgive them. Why? Because I'm so grateful for what God has already forgiven me. All my sins are forgiven. I don't forgive you if you do bad things against me because I'm going to be forgiven. I'm already forgiven. You see the big difference between playing Moses' game and playing Paul's game? Totally different. We have a different coach who gives us different instructions, says different things to us about how we should live. And that's very, very important. Here, there's a lot of ifs. If you do this, God will do this for you. If you don't do this, God's going to punish you. Here, it's not if. Here, it's because. Because of all that God has done for us. Here, it's if. Over here, it's because of all that God has done. That's why we live for God. That's why we obey our parents. That's why we do our jobs right. That's why we do well in school. Because we're grateful for what God has done for us already. So the main thing that God has done through all of time is when he sent the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross. And he promised that through Moses and through the prophets to the children of Israel. The Apostle Paul tells us all that that means as to how we live our lives today. And what's right for us, and what's wrong for us. A lot of good that we learn from here. A lot of great things we learn from here. And so that's why it's important to divide rightly the Word of God so that we know where are we living. We're living here. And that's why we need to learn the things that God wants us to know so that we can live the Christian life the way God expects us to live it.